Are you sweating?
I'm sweating again. Yes. We talked to me about this before. There was something like a surprise improv. I was like, oh shit. Okay, I'm ready.
So that is, of course, Courtney McDermott. We've been spending the last couple of weeks with her here on Learn From People Who Lived It. And today's episode is all about humor. And I'm actually going to spring a little improv exercise on her a little bit later in this podcast. And I'm not saying that you're here for the funniest thing you've ever heard in your entire life, but we are going to talk a lot about humor today. That podcast is coming right up. First up, let me tell you about a couple of our resource partners.
At Mental Joe, they sell more than shirts. They sell apparel with a purpose. In fact, my favorite hoodie in my closet is a Mental Joe hoodie. They help out G.I. Joes to the average Joes one t-shirt at a time. With every purchase, you help them support organizations that can provide services to help others get out of their heads and into their bodies through plant medicines, equine therapy, yoga, and other non-traditional mental health treatments. Link to them. Pick out your favorite t-shirt or hoodie right now at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com/resources. So almost every week of my life for the last 2 years, somebody will ask me about the retreat that changed my life. And I'm so proud to present Spirit Quest as one of our official resource partners. Founded in 2007, it's the holistic wellness center that changed my life, helped me overcome anxiety, helped me work through conflict, gave me all these tools to manage stress, and they would love to do the same thing for you. To connect to Spirit Quest, click the link on our resources tab at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com, and when you get on the phone with them, make sure you mention that you heard it on Learn From People Who Lived It.
Looking for no bullshit conversation about mental health? Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcast. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
Well, here we are. This is it, part three. And today it's all about humor. We're back with Courtney McDermott, and we are going to tell some great stories today about being on Richard Branson's private island and having revelations. We're going to talk about this serious culture that seems to be everywhere, and then why is it so important for high performers to have fun? It is one of the truths out there, especially in corporate America, and I can't wait to dive into it today. So good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Good morning, Matthew. I'm great. How are you?
I am ready to laugh. I added a little bit of humor. I've added some laughter into the podcast today. So it's just sporadically, I'm going to sprinkle in some laughter to make sure that everybody's having a good time. Because I got to be honest, I stopped having fun in a really fun job. And I know you can relate to that. And I can't tell you how it happened. I can't even tell you why it happened, but I can promise you this. I freaking love to have a good time and laugh. And I had stopped doing it. And maybe we'll dip into a little bit about the whys and the hows of all of that stuff. But before we started taping, you said something so cool. You said, you know what? I'm committed to humor right now. And so let's start with that. What do you mean you're committed to humor? What, like every night going to a different comedy show? What are you talking about?
Basically, last night I was watching Chappelle. That's his name, right?
Or Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle. Thank you. Oh my God.
Did you watch Dreamers?
Forgive me. Yes, I watched Dreamers. It was amazing. So good. Yes.
Oh my God. I love that special so much.
Love him. And then every night I've been watching, almost every night, I've been watching stand-up comedy. I think it was partly in preparation for our show. No, I'm joking. It was actually truly because I really, really want to laugh a hell of a lot more. Like, I laugh a lot, but I want to laugh so much more. And
yes.
And I've been diving into comedy. I watched some really great stuff over the last couple weeks. Yeah.
Who are you? You and I have yet to meet in person, but we are living the most parallel lives right now. You don't even get it. I just watched Dreamers two nights ago. And in the last 3 weeks, I've logged on more comedy specials than I have in the last 3 years for the same reason. I'm like, I just want to laugh.
Yes, yes, yes. You're kind of freaking me out right now. And yes.
I know, it's really crazy, but I will say, yeah. I will say, and this could get heavy, and so if it does, let's just jump in. But okay. Dave Chappelle in the new Dreamers special says something so profound at the end that if you haven't watched the show yet, I promise I'm not ruining it. But this idea of you have to know when people are in your movie And you have to know when you're in somebody else's.
Yeah.
And that freaking blew my mind and I couldn't stop thinking about it. I'm still thinking about it two and a half, three days later, this idea of when am I in somebody else's movie and when are they in mine?
Okay, you're tripping me out right now because I just had one of my client calls right before this and I was telling her that specific piece of the Dreamers was what impacted me so profoundly. And it was hilarious and also super insightful and also you're the dream and the dream and the dream and the dream and it's you talking to you, trying to amuse you. And it's just hilarious and also kind of could make you a little crazy if you go into the metaphysics of it. So yeah, that's wild.
What did you take that to mean? Did you like immediately, like I did you start cycling back to certain situations in the last 6 months, year, something like that? And were you kind of like, was that my movie or was that their movie? Like when I'm coaching my high school students, I'm like, am I in their movie? Are they in my movie? Like now I'm trying to figure out whose movie it is all the time.
For me, I've experienced this multiple times, like the melting into someone. I don't know how else to describe that. It's when I no longer feel in any way where that person stops and where I start. And I think this is kind of the truth that we know through science as well. You know, if we look at it from even a quantum physics perspective of it's all the same stuff manifested in infinite forms, right? So essentially, this is self talking to self, trying to understand self right now, right? So it gets really trippy for me. Like the conversation gets really trippy, but at the same time, it's also so simple. It's literally just they're like reflections of the same thing. And so you're presenting a certain reflection. I'm presenting another reflection, but it's the same thing. If anyone's actually curious to dive deeper into that from a quantum perspective, I highly suggest the book Holographic Universe. And he talks about a fish in a tank. I don't want to spoil it because that's one of the most profound books that I've read. That gives
what's called again holographic what?
The Holographic Universe.
Universe. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, by Michael Talbot. He's no longer with us in the physical, but left such a profound legacy with his work. And I know we're only funny today, but I that's actually the ultimate humor is literally like this stuff is trying to amuse itself, right? Yeah. And maybe it all comes down to that, like Leela, divine play. I mean, maybe it all comes down for that. But I know from an individual perspective of Courtney, like we were saying a minute ago, I just want to laugh a hell of a lot more. I don't even care whose dream it's in. I just want to laugh.
So whether it's theirs or yours, you're just here. You're here for the laughter.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's jump into this a little bit. So part one obviously was about why you don't have what you want. Part two, we got into a little bit more about time management and how to get control back. And that idea of like, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to opt out of this situation. Now we're in humor. And so let's talk about one of the things that I set up front, which is number one, this is a really hard thing for certain people to dive into, especially high performers, because let's be honest, if you're really, really a high performer, you're fairly focused, you're probably pretty intense, and you really have your eye on the prize, then there could be almost this notion of like, I don't have time for that, okay? I don't have time for all this fun stuff. I'm here to get X, Y, and Z done. So let's start right there and give me your thoughts and feelings and opinions on why high performers have such a hard time kind of letting their hair down and having a good time. And not all, but a lot.
Yeah. Well, I do believe it's the illusion of control. It's the idea that you need to make everything go a certain way. Otherwise, the sky is going to fall. Hmm. And I say that from a place of I used to be very much like that. And it actually, for me, multiple times happened by accident. I got so freaking frustrated with myself and my need to try to control what I couldn't control. And every single time that I got super frustrated, it was kind of a, I don't know if it was just lucky. I was just lucky, but I got to this point of frustration where I'm just like, screw it. Like, screw the whole damn thing. And then it made me a little flippant and it made me a little funny. And then next thing I know, boom, the thing happened every time. So I was like, wait a second, there's something here. There's something to relaxing. There's something to letting go of the idea that you need to control it or make it happen, as is so dogmatized. And the minute I started letting up on those reins, all of the experience that I had and all of the beautiful learnings and all of the things that let me be who I am in the world were there, but they were there in such a softer way that really allowed their matches to come in with so much greater ease. So here's a question for you.
Were you trying to control yourself or were you trying to control the people around you?
Everything. I mean, everything that I thought. It's so funny. And I don't know if I talked about this in one of our episodes, but I find this absolutely fascinating that 99.99999 some odd percent of what's going on, both within us and outside of us, we have absolutely no control over, nor do we have the audacity to believe that we do. Right. Okay. So I'm not thinking, oh, right now in this very moment, my heart is pumping oxygen to my brain and it is, you know, and then my brain is sending electrical impulses down my leg. Like, I'm not thinking about any of that. And I just let it do its thing. And I'm totally cool about it doing its thing. If there's a hiccup somewhere, I'm like, oh shoot, I better get to a doctor. Again, I have no control. Like, hey, I don't know what to do here. And yet there's this infinitesimal percentage, like the 0.00000 whatever 1% that's left over that we say, oh no, well, I can't trust that's going to work out. That I've got to control. The relationship, the job, the promotion, like whatever it is. It's like, if I don't do these 10 things, then that's not going to happen. And for me, when I started to realize the absurdity of that, because it's absurd, that was very laughable in a way, but also just said, again, screw it. Like, again, you talked about Richard Branson at the beginning and he has that motto, screw it, just do it. And I feel like that's kind of what I got to. It was like, screw it, just do it. Like, what's the worst can happen? I mean, we're on a ball of dirt spinning around a star in the middle of nowhere. Like, I mean, what the hell, right? So, yeah.
I want to know, this is how it worked for me. Let me see if it worked for you similarly. It's like, I had a lot of fun getting started in my career and I was all about the ebbs and the flows, and like somebody would show up and I would talk to them. I was really active in my network. And then I got to a certain point in my career where I started to make a good salary and, you know, I started getting performance incentives in terms of bonuses. And that's when I started to notice, and maybe when I had kids too, but I started to notice a shift in like, okay, like I think I know how this can be successful and it needs to be this every single day or it's not working. And so I would try to control my own emotions. I would try to control my own mindset. I would walk through my studio door and it would almost feel like a portal to me. And I would say, okay, for the next 5 hours, nothing else matters. Just perform, just be excellent. Don't worry about the things that are happening on the outside, just come here and get in and do the work. And then I tried to control the people around me and the folks that were in my inner circle. And I did so all in the spirit of, I knew better, or so I thought, right? Mm-hmm. And I like this idea of we're not in control, but I also like the idea of we can influence a moment. So what do you think about when I say that? Because do you think that influence is a better way to put what we're trying to do rather than control? Or how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm glad you gave me a word, because I was trying to find out, because there's a fine line between rigidity and I think what you're calling influence. So for me, for example, there are certain things that I want to do every day, and I want to do them because I know they feed me. They enhance my light. They make me feel stronger. They excite me, right? So there are things that I know, like right before we talked, I had a little dance party. I also had a piece of chocolate or two. But I, you know, it was like, this is what I want right now. This is what mama needs. So those things, right, that I will do because I know, but then A previous version of me would have said, okay, wake up at 4 a.m., take your walk, do this at 5 p.m., you know, whatever, like all the things, and make your bed and do all the things. And this version of me is like super, again, super soft around, yeah, I know I'm going to get outside. So someone asked me the other day, well, do you go, because I walk every day, walk or run. I go out in the woods and walk or run virtually every day. And like, do you really do it every day? I was like, well, maybe in a year of 365 days, maybe I go like 350, 355. I mean, I'm outside because I need it. It's my juice, right? But I never know what time I'm going to go. I never know when that's going to happen. It just naturally, fluidly falls into place during the day because it's so important to me. So again, there's like that for me, the distinction was, I'm not going to be rigid about this, but I'm very aware that these are the things that work for me. These are the things that light me up. Like this thing lights me up. And so I'm going to make space for it.
Yeah. But it doesn't, well, there's this idea of letting go is different from stop caring, right? And so that's when I use the word influence, I think, well, yeah, if you want to get a big job and you just sit on your couch all day long and you say, well, it's up to the universe. The universe will, you know, if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. Maybe not. But, you know, you have influence in where you can make calls, you can send emails, you can follow up, you can use your network. Like you can do things to try to influence a situation. I'm just not sure that you'll have complete control over the entire experience and the way that it shows up for folks. And so I'm wondering if you could put a little bit of color on that idea that I love so much, which is letting go isn't the same as stop caring. You can still care about something a lot, but you can be detached from the way it's going to look at the end.
Right, right. Yeah, I personally, yeah, I don't think it's, I'm not doing anything. For me, the biggest distinction is I used to do something from a push place.
Okay.
You know, I felt like I was pushing. I felt like I was climbing up the mountain and, you know, you perseverance and all these things that you hear. And again, that phrase that's been so glorified of make it happen and no matter what and all these things. And the shift that took place in me, and it was a really powerful shift, was I'm taking action, but it's intrinsically motivated. Like there's nothing, it's not because outside I think I have to do this thing or someone told me to do this thing or whatever that looks like. Oftentimes, to be honest, Matthew, I'll just sit in silence. And I just wait for instructions. I really do. And then it'll be like, get up and go for a walk. And then I'll get up and go for a walk. Or it'll be write to this person. And I'll have no idea half the time. Honestly, half the time I'll be like, where'd that come from? But then later I'll say, holy moly, that was exactly the person that I need. Because it's this peaceful place. And to get back into the theme of today, it's kind of like a funny place because you just say, okay, what's up next? Like what's on the docket? I don't know what's this going to come out and surprise me, this person here today, this comedian or whatever. That's a little bit, I feel like there's this almost like a jester in us, but also a wise counsel and all the things that offers us the instructions. It's like, do this thing. And I didn't believe in this once upon a time and I didn't rely on it. And the difference in my life now that I do is just staggering. I mean, I wouldn't even, the list of things that have happened since I started leaning more into that is, yeah, that's just out of this world. So,
and when you're trying to control the situation so fiercely, it's so hard to laugh. It's so hard to have a good time because you're just so outcome focused that you can't even enjoy the process. You can't even enjoy the road, you know, getting there. I always think, and I love to play devil's advocate and get your opinion on, all right, so what we're proposing to people, this idea of, you know, sit, let it come to you. And I talk about that too when I'm in front of folks. Just sit down, let the answer find you. It will. I'll get some pushback from certain folks who will say, that's a real nice luxury that you have to just sit there all day and wait for things to show up. I got to be at the store at 8 a.m. to open up the shop and I got to do this and I got to do that. And then I pick the kids up and then I got to bring them to sports and then I got to make them dinner. I don't have any time to just sit there and wait for the answer to get to me. So I know what I say to those people, but what do you say to those folks who are living in a story that might not be totally true?
Yeah, what I like to work with people on is what I call it the time paradox. Okay. So we covered this a little bit in our last session, but it's starting to understand, okay, where are the places in my life where I could start to create more space and I could start to really kind of hone in and focus in on the things that are really important to me? Because those are those things, like I said, those are those life-giving things that are unique to you, right? Different strokes for different folks. They're unique to you. And I find that the more people open up to this, it's a time paradox, because the more you relax around it and the more you say, okay, I'm intentionally creating space and everything, the more of it becomes available to you. And lots of times people look at what I typically get done in a day or a week or a year, and they are kind of flabbergasted. I mean, people tell me all the time, how the hell did you do that? And I can honestly tell you, I have more time on my hands now than probably anyone I know.
Really?
And the results are off the charts. So it's not true. This lie that we've been fed that, you know, there are important things, of course. Like if my daughter calls me and she says, hey, mom, like I need us to do this thing. I mean, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. She said, mom, I'm coming down on, we're going to be together on Thursday. I was like, okay, fine. Clear the schedule. We're going to be together on Thursday. Like that's it. Right. So, and I'm not saying that's necessarily always possible, those things. But what I am saying is that the more you kind of just start to trust and you get away from, and we talked about this last week, but like the allure of this lie around busyness. Like we have put a badge of honor around being busy. There is nothing glamorous about being busy. I do not glorify it in any way. I think I might have mentioned this in the last episode, but like I've removed the word from my lexicon. If someone says, you must be so busy, I say, I am absolutely the least busy person you'll ever meet. And yet, like I said, so many things get done through me, but it happens in this much, there's so much less effort involved. And I think that, I mean, you could go back to the teachings of the Tao. I think that's a really great place to go over this kind of stuff. And it's like the wu wei wu, right? Is like, it's a non-efforting. It's life is flowing through you.
Yes.
When we're just not trying to get in the way of it all the damn time.
There it is. And I adopted your philosophy. I want you to know I credit Courtney to this, but I eliminated the word busy from my diet too. 100%. I absolutely did. And what I have started to say, in case anybody's wondering how they can answer questions, what I have started to say is I have so much cool stuff going on. Let me tell you, and then if people want to know more, it's great. But what have you been up to? Oh man, I just have so many cool things happening right now. And then usually folks are like, really, what are you doing? And they want to know a little bit more, but I'm busy. I'm just so busy. It's a dead end conversation. So stop using it.
Yeah. And it's it's boring.
Yeah.
All right. It just bores me now.
So good. I love it. So, all right. If you're paying attention, step one about this idea around adding more humor to your life is relinquishing control. Okay. That's a really important step, is like, stop trying to hold on to things so tightly and learn to laugh at them. And I think I told you in one of our previous episodes that I had heard somewhere along the way, the Italians have some saying of live your life like it's in a movie, and where you can, going back to Dave Chappelle, am I in somebody else's movie or are they in mine? Either way, you can laugh at it. Either way, you can be lighthearted about this thing. And I remember I used to be so concerned over how people were going to react to what I would want to do or whatever. And now there's so much freedom in not caring and being like, okay, next. Like, this guy doesn't like that, so where am I going next? And not putting so much weight on how other people feel, being and impacting how I feel about myself, and taking a little bit more of the reins. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, thinking or caring about that's the distinction again about caring or letting go of. I feel like when you just say, one of the things my sister said to me once, she said, and I found out that I think this is, somebody told me that this is actually comes from AA, but I don't know. My sister was in AA and I didn't know about it, but it's what other people think of you is none of your business. Mm. It's just none of your business. Like, just get on with it. And for me, that's been really powerful, because with all the changes we make, with all the new me, you that we're becoming all the time. It's like, there's not space for that. I can't bother with that in any way. It's just a perception, and probably it's a reflective of my own insecurities in that moment. Right. And so even if that is something that's going on, it's just such a waste of energy. Yes. So might as well turn somewhere else and laugh instead and just go on about doing you.
Yeah. All right. Earlier on, we said we're going to talk about why high performers have such a hard time with humor. And that's kind of it. Step one is because they're trying to control too many things. Let's talk about Richard Branson's Private Island. Number one, that had to be a pretty spectacular experience. But number two, you said that while you were there, you witnessed so much fun and culture change that it left a lasting impression on you. So first question is, did you fly down with Richard, or did you meet him there, or was he not even there and it was you and some other people doing some fun stuff?
No, he was there. He was there every day. He had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with us every day. The dude is amazing. He's very open, and in a way, like, very simple in his, or at least that's the impression I got, like, very simple in the approach to just what's in front of him, you know, and he loves to play. And so the days were set up that we would have the mornings for talks. And I was the first speaker, actually. Someone called me the fire starter, and I was like, oh, zero pressure there, right? Like, no pressure. I don't feel any pressure. I mean, these were, you know, I was speaking alongside people like Mandela. So it was really intense experience. And so I have to be honest that I put so much pressure on myself. Because
I would have too. Hello.
I wanted to get it, quote unquote, right. But when I was actually speaking, I went in my flow space. Like, I went in my connection. I wouldn't say it was the most connected talk, but every talk I get gets more and more. And I would say, like, the last ones that I've given have felt like almost like I'm not even the one giving the talk. So
I love that feeling so much.
So delicious. It's so delicious. But it did take a lot of, I feel like we as entrepreneurs, or we as people who are so committed to refining, kind of like the diamond, right? It's the difference between a piece of coal and a diamond is just the arrangement of the atoms, right? So in what makes that different arrangement, like, if you looked at it, you would see I feel like beautiful or symmetrical the arrangement of a diamond is, right? Where you see this kind of chaos in a piece of coal. But really what that's about is, like, time and pressure, right? So we give ourselves a hard time about putting all this pressure on ourselves, but probably there's a point to that pressure. And I think that shouldn't really be overlooked. I don't think either one of us are here today saying, don't show up with your best self, or don't care about what you do or don't do. Care about what you do and don't do, and then let go. And then relax, and then have fun. And when I saw someone like Richard, who obviously is, I mean, he's one of the most prolific entrepreneurs in the world, if not the most in our times, just playing more than half the day. I was like, well, and that, I have to say, that is kind of what I do in a way. Like, I don't spend my whole day working at all. I do loads of different things throughout my day. So, but he was specifically committed to play and adventure and fun. And I was like, damn, I want to take a page out of that handbook. I mean, and it's been a process for me. I was just having a conversation with another podcaster. She's a great podcaster in out of Dubai. She's like the number one podcast there in the United Emirates. And we were having a conversation, and she was saying that it was really hard for her to have fun. And she's so lovely and she's so funny naturally and all the things, but she's like, it's so hard. So I wouldn't give ourselves a hard time. Those of us who feel like, man, it's hard for me to have fun, just say, oh, that's because of how much I actually do care. That's how much I want to achieve my potential. That's the diamond in me that's getting formed, that's becoming formed. It's a little bit also like, you know, you're chiseling away, and then it's the Davide emerges, you know, and it's kind of like, play with that. So for me, yeah, I learned so many lessons being there. I'm still learning. I'm still absorbing, because I think in the moment it was harder for me to totally fully settle into, okay, now the next adventure. There were so many things that I regret so much that I didn't do, because like what? I was maybe, well, like for instance, office tour around the island and around both islands, I think actually also Mosquito. So there's Necker and Mosquito. And I didn't do that because of the timing of it, because it came, I think it was, I can't remember why, I just didn't. And I really regretted not doing it. But in general, I just saw such life there. It was just teeming with life. His team was teeming with life. Everyone was so kind, so attentive, so detail oriented. And yet they were smiling, genuinely, you know, pleased to be there in that environment. And yeah. I mean, it's the most magical place I've ever been in my whole life. So
it sounds incredible. Do you think that some adults, we don't know how to play? Like, because we associate it with being a kid and we think like, well, what am I supposed to do? Go to the park? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, call my friends and say, do you want to have a sleepover? Like, we almost don't even know how to play as adults. And what I love about this conversation so much is when I went through my own mental crisis a few years ago, the man who was the most instrumental in my shift must have used the word play 6,000 times while we were in session, right? He just kept saying, when you leave here, that's your job. Like, the only thing I want you to work on is playing. I just want you to go out and I want you to have fun. Keep playing, play, 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 play. He just said it over and over again. But adults, I don't know if we know how to. Some of us don't know how to have fun. Sometimes it's gotten so serious. And so do you have any recommendations, things that you picked up from old, your buddy Richard Branson or some of these other folks that where you can help us understand what it means to play?
Well, I think more than just becoming an adult, it's like a calcification of your life.
Okay.
I came to this conclusion lately because I was like, when things start to calcify, right? When things start to just get rigid and you don't know anymore how to get out of that persona that you've created. And it's so frustrating, but if you're frustrated by it, great. Great. Because it means that you're ready to take some of that crust off. You're ready to do things different. For me, one of the biggest things is I just try different things. And it wasn't always like that, but it was like, okay, try different things because this isn't working. I read a gorgeous quote earlier today. It's, if you keep heading in the same direction, there's something like, it's really likely you're going to get where you were going. Like, and it goes in both ways. It was much better written. I wish I had it right in my head right now. But it was like if you keep going in that direction, yeah, you're probably going to get there. And that's the thing, is what direction are you going in? So I like to trip that up a lot. I trip it up a lot. That's why I'm saying I don't have a time in the day when I go walking or running, but I know I like to be out in the woods, so I'm going to probably get there at some point. But if I don't and I do something else, if I have a massive dance party in my place, great. Like, I just want to move and be in touch with my body and whatever that looks like. But it's really kind of tripping it up. So even recently with the comedy, I hadn't, and I'm so sorry to Dave Chappelle. I mean, he's so brilliant. I should have gotten his name right. Forgive me. But
I'll edit that part out. Just
how good, please edit that.
You just said Chappelle.
Thank you. Chappelle. That guy Chappelle. Oh, yeah. Right. Dave. So I was going to ask you. No, I'm joking. Well, kind of not. Anyway, I digress. So I was saying, right, that was a huge shift for me, because I used to stand up just wasn't a thing for me. But I was like, yeah, dude, I want to laugh. Where do you go to laugh? Stand up. And then I think it's our intentionality, because for me, just the invitation of wanting more laughter. I've met really funny people recently. I mean, I met you. I have another new friend
in
LA.
I love being really funny. Thank you.
Yeah. I met another new friend in LA who I absolutely adore. And she and I just literally laugh nonstop when we're together. It's just like, it goes from raunchy to witty to all the things. She's hilarious. And we have the same kind of humor. And so we just crack each other up. And the other night, I was driving. It's a long story. There was a big landslide here, and I ended up having to take 3 hours to get where normally it would take me about 40 minutes. And practically the whole time, I was chatting it up with her, and we were just laughing hysterically. For me, that car ride went like that, and I was just like, "This is amazing, right?" So it's your intentionality. It's really, I'm ready for this. I want this. I'm actively seeking it out, which goes back to an earlier episode of ours. And then it starts to appear in mysterious ways. Yeah.
Yeah. And might it also be worth noting that if you're hanging around a bench of Debbie Downers or Davy Downers, like, you might just need to separate yourself from some of these folks who are await, because whether you like it or not, like, who you surround yourself with, your environment plays such a huge role in like how you're going to show up and operate. And, we do these grief relief retreats here in Phoenix, Arizona, where we take between 4 and 8 people who are really struggling with grief, and we throw them through a whole day protocol. It's a beautiful, magical experience. But one of the things that we're really intentional about is in the beginning of the day, we say, you know, who are you? Why are you here? Why did you choose our retreat? What are you here to kind of uncover? And they always have one version of their story. They always have like the story that they tell everybody. And then at the end of the day, they write that story down again, then they burn it, and I make them rewrite a new story. And that has to be what they project and what they put out there. And for so many of them, that first version has all these characters in their movie that don't seem to be serving them at all, like not even remotely serving them at all. But they stick around due to obligation or family or friends or history or whatever that whole thing is. And I'm not saying what I'm suggesting is easy, but I am suggesting that it's really necessary if you truly want to shift and move into a space where you can laugh more, because it is, don't you agree? It's tough to laugh when you're around people who are in a bad mood all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like there's work on both sides, and we know this, right? Einstein actually said that the environment is the sole governing agency of the particle. And I used to think, exactly to your point, that means, well, your environment is going to shape you. It's going to form you. It's going to determine who you are. And then the more I started to realize that there's this inner environment too, and I do have the agency of choice in how I spend my time, like you're talking about, and everything else, I noticed there were distinct changes then that emerged in my external environment as well, as I was changing my internal environment and my commitment to the things that were important to me.
Love that. Love that so much. Okay. So back to humor and back to relaxing and having a good time. I thought it would be an interesting exercise to put both of us through a little bit of an improv moment. And so, if you're down for it, I have a pretty radical idea, which is to create a hype reel for one Courtney McDermott. Now, for those of you that don't know what a hype reel is, this would be like something that you would put together and you would throw it in front of other folks, and then they would get excited about you and want to book you, want to bring you in to be a speaker, want to bring you in to work their workshop, want to hire you because they love what they see. So I've come up with this idea for you and I to create a hype reel, and I'm going to need a few things from you in order for this to be successful. Okay.
Okay.
Are you sweating?
I'm sweating again. Yes. You talked to me about this before. There was something like a surprise improv. I was like, oh shit. Okay. I'm ready.
You're going to be amazing at it. Okay. So what I need from you are 4 sound bites. Okay. And you get to pick them. They can be whatever you want, but they got to be authentically yours. They got to be something that you say when you're in front of people, because I'm just going to be setting you up. Now, for example, I'll open things up like I'm the big voice guy, and I'll say, Courtney McDermott, a best-selling author and TEDx speaker. And then you have to have a sound clip ready to go right then and there, like you're on the stage doing the thing. And then I'm going to say, she's a mind-body expert who speaks 4 languages. And then I think you should say something in Italian or one of the other languages that you speak. And then I'm going to say, Courtney used to be miserably successful. And then you give me another quote that sort of ties that whole thing together. And then I'll send people to your website where they can book you. And then you're going to end with one more closing quote that's authentically Courtney and amazing. And people will want to hire you and bring you in.
Okay.
This is going to be a beautiful mess. Now, hold on. First,
we can edit this too, right?
We can edit this too. First up, we gotta select your theme music. All right.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. So I'm gonna play you 3 options, and you can tell me which one feels like it's me. This is me, okay? So I'll do the voiceover intro for each one of them so you can get a little bit of the lay of the land. And my line is, Courtney McDermott, a best-selling author and TEDx speaker. Are you okay that I say that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's true. So, okay, here we go. First one sounds like this. Oh, wait, that's the laughter. Hang on. Courtney McDermott is a best-selling author and TEDx speaker. That's not you. It's not you right away. You know.
No, not feeling it.
It gets a little bit, it ramps up. It gets exciting toward the end. The piano is soft.
Because that was a little too, yeah.
Too soft. Well, then I'm going to go the completely opposite direction then, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Courtney McDermott is a best-selling author and TEDx speaker. All right, so that's second. It's got a little bit of a K-pop pop
feel. The Bulls coming into the stadium in Chicago. Do you have anything like that? Yeah.
So you want to go total hype music. All right.
Yeah, let's do it. Where are we going here? Those first two are not, I'm not sold.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, we only have a third option. Then if this doesn't work, we're going to scrap this whole thing. All right, here's your third option. Whoop. All right, here we go. Courtney McDermott, a best-selling author and TEDx speaker.
It's a little bit closer, yeah.
Is it a little closer?
Yeah, I'm between the second and the third if I had to choose one of those. Let's do it, yeah. Let's go with the third one.
This guy here?
You choose between two and three.
Too corporate?
I think because our theme for today is funny, none of those feel funny to me, and I kind of want to inject some humor.
Okay. All right. Well, then everybody just stay with me here because I am going to work on the fly in the middle of our podcast. That's fine. I do this professionally. I don't want anybody to be alarmed. I can work this on the fly here, and we are going to find, because I did think about that idea of being like a little quirky, and humorous. And I thought, well, maybe that'll be too over the top, but that's exactly why we're here, right? All right, so stand by here. Thank you for being such a great sport. I adore you.
I love this. This is hilarious. I love it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and this is what the reason that I'm doing this is because what we're doing here is getting out of our comfort zone, both of us, right? We're just sort of improvising. We're on the fly. We're not taking ourselves too seriously, and we're just kind of jumping in the moment and having a good time with it. And that's the piece that people forget to do.
Right.
Right. All right. This is a little bit more quirky.
Yes. This is it. You nailed it. Yes. Oh, Matthew. Woo! Made it go.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And that's what it'll be. That'll be our theme music. And so, like, when I say Courtney McDermott, a best-selling author and TEDx speaker, are you ready for your first clip?
I think so. I think I'm ready.
Okay. You're going to be amazing. Here we go. Wait, why doesn't that do that? Here we go. Courtney McDermott, a best-selling author and TEDx speaker.
Who also aspires to be a pole dancer.
Ooh, she's a mind-body expert who speaks four languages.
Cosa vuoi che ti dico adesso? Parliamo in italiano?
What did you just say, by the way?
What do you want me to say right now is what I said. Should we speak in Italian?
Oh, okay. You're right. All right. Here we go. She used to be miserably successful.
And now she's laughing her butt off with Matthew.
Finding her way out of that space and helping others do the same has become her calling and her new career. Find her, meet her, and book her right now at CourtneyMcDermott.com. Last line.
Let's have fun. I don't know. I stuck with that.
It's not an easy game that I just sprang on you.
Really hard. I was like, what do I actually, I do want to try pole dancing. I probably won't because it's too hard. But yeah, I was like, what do I say that's actually funny and quirky? But this has to be a thing that we keep trying because
You mean creating your hype reel?
Yeah, the hype reel. I mean, that was just bad. I wouldn't go to my website after that. I'd be like, oh, what's wrong with this girl? Like, she doesn't. So I wouldn't go there. I need work. I need some serious work on this.
It's all right. We got out of our comfort zone and we tried something new. And the whole time we had smiles on our faces. We were laughing. It was very lighthearted. Like for people who want to add more humor into their life, this we're like, I wanted to show you, this is one way to do it. Just try something new. Be silly. Who cares?
I really do. Sincerely, I'm not joking about this. I want to try stand up someday. That's actually on my list.
You should do it. Are you funny? Are you funny that way?
It's much more likely.
What if you marry the two?
Well, here's the thing. Oh, wow. Well, oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless, but I swear, I don't think I'm, you know, able to do it at all right now, but sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just have the funniest jokes going through my head. And this is one of the reasons why I'm also really intrigued by stand up right now. Cause I'm like, do I get up and write these down? I think they're so good. So yeah, it's definitely in my career path. It's there.
Well, listen, Courtney, it's always a great pleasure and time to hang out with you a little bit. And I can't thank you enough for spending 3 weeks with us and just, you know, throwing all your time away on this podcast for a few weeks.
I loved it. I loved every minute. Thank you so much to you and to everyone who listened. And let's all go laugh and have some fun.
We have 3 goals with Learn From People Who Lived It. 1, to help you feel less alone. 2, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. 3, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn From People Who Lived It, wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.